Hey, good evening, everybody. Sorry for the late notice about tonight's shiur. Initially, I had canceled the shiur because I thought I was supposed to speak somewhere else at 8 o'clock tonight. Turns out I'm speaking at 10 o'clock tonight somewhere else. So I figured might as well go for the shiur tonight. But we're doing it Zoom only because I just felt like guys wouldn't come on such short notice. So that's what we're doing. Also, I'm a little less prepared than usual, but we'll give it our best shot. So here are the two shailas that we have for tonight. First of all, I got the following text from a rabbi, and it reads as follows: Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi. There is a young man in my shul who is getting married next week. He is a sincere from boy who has raised his entire life as a Shomer Torah u'mitzvos. It is a long story, but to cut to the chase, when he was about 8 or 9 years old, it was discovered that his mother was not halachically Jewish. This was a shock to the mother, the father, and the entire family. The mother immediately went through a gerus with reputable Beis Din, and the children were Megayer as well. The father is as Jewish as you and me. The family has been seen as a regular Jewish family in the community, regular Orthodox family in the community for a long time, and nobody knew about this entire episode. Now the boy is getting married, and he very much does not want his ksuba to call him Ben Avraham Avinu. His father is his biological father. His father raised him. He wants to be called Ben, his father's name. Is there any way we can, quote, falsify the ksuba and just write his father's name? So that is shaila number one. Shaila number two, let me pull it up here. Shaila number two goes as follows. Several years ago, my father went in with 9 other people, all Jewish, to buy a cask of distilling Scotch whiskey. The idea is that you pay a relatively small amount of money up front to a distillery in Scotland, where the Scotch then ages over several years, after which it is bottled and distributed to the group, and you have your own unique Scotch. The first year on Pesach, my father was telling our Yom Tov guests all about his barrel of Scotch that was aging in Scotland as we spoke. When he was asked if he had sold his share before Pesach, my father nearly fainted, and he realized that he had not, in fact, sold his share. Hoping for the best but fearing the worst, my father asked a shaila and was told that he had to be miyaish his share and get no hana'ah from it. Interestingly, the rest of the group's shares were not impacted. Over the years, I have told this story to other rabbanim and have mostly been told that the psak my father received was not necessarily correct. What say you? So those are our two shailas. So shaila number one about the ger, who doesn't want, under any circumstances, for his name to be written in the ksuba as Ben Avram Avinu. Is there any way that we can accommodate such a request? And shaila number two about the distilling Scotch in Scotland that he forgot to sell for Pesach. So if you could vote using the chat feature, that would be great. And let's see, so far... one, but interested in the answer. Two, one. Okay, it looks like one is going to win at this point. Okay, so it looks like we're going to go with shaila number one. So let's begin. So shaila number one is about the gerus. Now, in general, it may sound like a crazy case. It may sound like something that how often can such a thing really come up that someone discovers that they're Jewish, that they're not Jewish, rather, later on in life when they've been assuming their entire lives that they are Jewish. It seems odd. It seems crazy, but you'd be surprised how often things like this happen. We once had a case in the Beis Din. You know, we have a lot of interesting cases in the Beis Din where people come in to be Megayer, and in one particular case, there was a kid that came in to be Megayer because he was completely frum, and he learns Torah every day, and he wears white shirts every day, even tzitzis out, the whole thing, and he was going to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, like a yeshiva that boys from our yeshiva learned in, and there was just one little thing. He just wasn't Jewish yet, and he needed to be Megayer. So what was his story? Why was he not Jewish? So the case was, if I recall correctly, he was brought up Jewish his entire life. And he was not brought up frum, but he was brought up Jewish. And as far as he knew, all of his, both of his parents, all of his grandparents, and great-grandparents were all Jewish, as far as he knew his entire life. In fact, he was the victim of anti-Semitism when he was in elementary school. And then, at some point, his great-grandmother died. His mother's mother's mother died. His great-grandmother died. And when she died, they were looking for her Hebrew name in order to be able to, you know, to put it on the matzeva. And they couldn't find what her Hebrew name was. So they asked some of the cousins. They always knew that they had non-Jewish cousins. They could never figure that out. But they asked some of their cousins what grandma's Hebrew name was. And the cousins said, "Grandma's Hebrew name? Grandma wasn't Jewish." And they were shocked. And so the boy said, so at first, you know, he was being raised in a non-religious family. He said, at first, I figured, okay, so I'm 7/8 Jewish. You know, so it's no big deal. Of course, the 1/8 that he was not Jewish was the 1/8 that counts. It was his mother's mother's mother that was not Jewish, which means he was not Jewish. And by the time that he discovered this, he had already become frum. He was on, it was an amazing story, actually. The fellow was on an NCSY, not an NCSY, on, what do they call, the conservative movement has like a youth program also. I forgot what it's called, but they have also a youth program. And he was in Israel because he was very into his Yiddishkeit, even as a conservative Jew, he was very into his Yiddishkeit. And he was on one of these programs in Israel over the summer, and they happened to have been staying at the same youth hostel as an NCSY program. I happen to be speaking to NCSY programs later tonight, Israel programs. Maybe I could tell this story there. But he happened to have been staying at the same youth hostel as an NCSY program, and he saw frum kids for the first time. And like, he never was around frum kids, and he got so excited. So he started like asking them all sorts of questions, and like, he must have been a little bit annoying to them because he just wanted to be one of them. And he said, "What time do you pray tomorrow? I want to," you know, he was asking what time Shabbos morning davening was, because like, he wanted to participate. So he's like, "What time do you guys pray tomorrow?" And the kids, I guess, found him, I don't know if it was a practical joke, they found him annoying, so they did it. But the kids told him, "Oh, 6 a.m. you know, on Shabbos morning." The NCSY program was not praying at 6 a.m. on Shabbos morning. They were praying at 9:30 a.m. in all likelihood on Shabbos morning. And the boy was all excited. He woke up at 5:30. He was there. He was ready to go for the tefillah. He was going to have his first Orthodox tefillah, and there was nobody there. And the only people that were up were the children of the director of the NCSY program, like these four-year-old, three-year-old, a six-year-old. So he started talking to them, and he started asking them, you know, about Moda'ani and Brachos and Tefillah. And that was his first Orthodox education. It was from the six-year-old and the four-year-old of the director of the program. The father, who was the director of the program, was around also, and he befriended him. And ultimately, he was Makarif him, and he became a frum Jew. And then after he became a frum Jew, he realized that he wasn't a Jew at all. So he was all set to go to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he realized that he wasn't a Jew. It was a remarkable story. So things like this happen sometimes. Things like this happen sometimes. Now, this story is a little bit different. This fellow was frum his whole life. The whole family was frum their whole life. And everyone thought that he was that he was a regular Jew. And they never told anybody about this this secret of theirs. So the question is there any problem with writing in the ksuba his father's name? Keep in mind, this father is his biological father. It is also the father that raised him. It's just not his halachic father, because there's a principle in halacha we learned recently in Daf Yomi, that gershin is gayer, ki katan shenol ladami, that when a ger is megayer, it's like a katan shenol, it's like a new baby being born, and he has no relatives, and anyone who he was related to is not considered a relative of his anymore. And therefore, l'chora, it's dishonest to write in the ksuba that the name of his Jewish father, because he's not misyaches to his father at all. A ger is no yachas to his father, nor to anyone that was a relative of his before the gerus. Like the lashon of Rashi and the Rambam is ki ilu nolad achshav me'atzmo b'li av ve'em. ukrovim dami. It's as if he was born right now without a father, mother, or any relatives. And there are many nafkaminas for this din, between, you know, for these dinim, for all the dinim that apply between a father and a son. The ager is kosher to be an aid for his father, for his Jewish father. Similarly, a ger is not yoresh, his Jewish father, because the son of a Jewish man from a non-Jewish woman, in lashon the Shulchan Aruch chash mishpatim reishayin vav, is eino ben ledavar me'advarim klal, is not a son for any of the halachos. So, and also when it comes to yibum, if the Jewish man dies without any children from a Jewish wife, and he only has this child from a goya, even though he's megayer and he's a, and the child is now a Jew, whether he's considered the father's considered to be meis below banim, and the woman is chayiv in yibum, the woman is obligated to take care of chalitz or yibum because the man died childless in that sense. It's interesting because it could be that with the mitzvah of Purufu, we don't say that way, right? That was the sugya we had in the daf recently, that there's machlokas in the Gemara, that if a person has a child, bigiyuso, and then they're megayer, that it could be that that's a kiyum mitzvah of Purufu. But nevertheless, we assume when it comes to Yibum, it's going to require Yibum. So l'chora, to write Ploni ben Ploni, the name of the Jewish father, is not true, and therefore should not be done. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Ebn Ezer, Sim Kuf Chav Tes, Siv Chav, where it paskins that by a ger you write Ben Avram Avinu, and the Shulchan Aruch makes no distinction whether the father of the ger is a Jew or a non-Jew. And it makes sense, because the reason that you write ger in Uksuba is to let everyone know, meaning Lomai Nafkamina. You see, if it was a girl, if it was a young lady who was a Gyores, so I understand it's really important to write that she's a Gyores in the Uksuba, because if you don't give that impression or that knowledge to people that she's a Gyores, then they'll come to be Machshir Hula Kuhuna. Meaning, yeah, she's getting married now, but what happens if the husband she's marrying now drops dead? So then she's going to be an Almana. An Almana's allowed to marry a Kohen, but a Gyores is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So it's important that in the Uksuba, notes that she's a Gyores, so that you can know to Pasul Lakuna. Why does it matter for a boy? Why does it matter to know that a man is a Ger, as opposed to just pretending that he's a Jew? So it does chap a nafkamina, because there is a psul srara for a Ger. Exactly what the nature of that psul is and how far reaching it is. Can a ger be a Rosh Yeshiva? Can a ger be a shul rabbi? Can a ger get smicha? Can a ger... But there is a psul srara for a ger. So, meaning that some tasam alecha melech mikarev achecha, it's got to be mikarev achecha, not from gerim. They can't have a position of srara. Okay, so there's what to debate. Is a shul president srara? Is a shul rabbi srara? The post can discuss this more commonly when it comes to women, because there's a psul srara, there's an isr srara for women as well. Melech v'lo malka, right? That's Shittas Rambam, and sometimes melech melech v'lo malka. So it could be that there's an isr of srara for women as well. So that's shaykh for the ger also. So people might appoint him to a position of srara. So there is a case that's brought in the Sefer Mishpat Haksuba. My friend Rabbi Warren Sinneman sent me a copy of a few pages from the Sefer when I mentioned the Shailatin. So there's a Sefer called Mishpat Haksuba, and he brings a case where it wasn't the Ger that was very upset and didn't want his name to be Ben Avram Avinu in the Ksuba. It was the father of the Ger, meaning it was the Jewish man who's the father. And he writes in the Sefer Mishpat HaKsuva, Kasher Ha'av Mis'akesh Al Ksiva Shemo HaYehudi U'misbayish Ma'od Shekosim L'bno Ben Avram Avinu. Father's embarrassed, they can write the name Ben Avram Avinu, so malasos. If the father is a Nachri, so you can write Ploni Ager, you write Ben Avram Avinu. If the father's upset by that, you know, that's not going to bother us so much that the father's upset by that. But if the father is a Jew and he's Omid Lufanenu Vitzoek, Anihu Aviv, Ushmi Kach Vekach, Ukvodi Liacher Loetain, I am his father. This is my real name. I'm not willing to forego my kavod. And he doesn't want it to say Ben Avram Avinu, so what do you do? So be'emes, you don't have to be mevayishim and kozim tsar and to read Barabim that that he's Ben Avram Avinu. You're correct, Ploni Ager, without writing the son of Avram Avinu, and even if you write Ploni Ager and then you do write the father's name, the ksuba is going to be kosher, and you can just tell the guy that's reading the ksuba to skip the word Hager when he reads it. Meaning we do this all the time in terms of reading the ksuba in a dishonest way. You know, sometimes you have a case. I remember I once had a shaila, I think we may have discussed it in one of the shiurim, where the kala was a fine Beis Yaakov girl or whatever. She went to yeshivas her whole life, and the chassan also. But it happened to have been the kala was not a basula, and the chassan knew that the kala was not a basula. He knew she wasn't a basula because he was there when she became not a basula. It was his fault that she's not a basula. So the chassan was aware that she's not a basula. The kala was not a basula. But as far as the rest of the world was concerned, they were the finest products of yeshivas and seminaries that our community produces. So what are they going to write a bu'ula in the ksuba? So one of the etzos is to actually, yeah, to write such a ksuba that the ksuba's bu'ula, and to just read a ksuba's basula. Meaning what you read out loud, as if anyone's paying attention anyway. I mean, I don't know if anyone's paying attention when you're reading the ksuba anyway. But, you know, I could see why it could be embarrassing to people, even if they're not sure that people are paying attention. Because in your head, you always think people are paying attention. So you read it. You read otherwise. It could be by that case, it's different anyway. It could be that they could actually write a ksubas pasula because the nafkamina is really only as far as how much money he's obligated to pay in the ksuba. And if he's willing to pay, you know, so let him pay. If he's willing to pay the masayim instead of the mana, so gizantei, let him pay the masayim instead of the mana. That's nothing wrong with that. It could be that the difference is bigger than just masayim mana, than two times difference. Rav Shechter points out that when we say masayim in a ksubas pasula, it's Masayim of Kesef Midaraisa. Kesef Zuzimasan Dechazilichi Midaraisa. The Daraisa Kesef is eight times the value of the Drabban Kesef. It's a different currency that we're talking about. Ksubas Almana is with the Kesef Midrabbanan. So it could be that it's 16 times the value. But Afal Kikain, you know, look, the guy is more than happy to pay that. So you could probably just read a regular ksub in that case. But maybe over here you could pull off such a ruse and it's not sheker. It's not sheker to call him Ben Aviv. How do I know that it's not sheker to call him by his father's, the son of his father? Meaning, even though halachically he may not be the son of his father, and it is important that the ksuba maybe indicate that he's a ger, but it's not sheker because Rashi tells us on Chumash that a kolam agadol yasam yisom b'soch beso. It's a gemara that anyone who raises someone in their home ki'ilu yilado. It's as if they've birthed that person. In fact, one of the nosa kelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Ibn Ezer, in the beginning of Ibn Ezer, if I recall correctly, writes that if a couple, Rachman and son, is not able to have children naturally, they're not able to have their own biological children, one etza is to adopt children. And that is a partial kiyama mitzvah of puravu, when you adopt children. Why is that a partial kiyama mitzvah? Where's the mitzvah puravu when you adopt children? Because kalam agadol yasam yisom b'soch beso is ki'ilu yilada. When you raise a child, it's as if that is your child. I once had a situation in my shul where the gabbai, I think he asked me permission first, and I messed up, but I have a gabbai who never messes up, happens to be, but the gabbai gave an aliyah to an adopted father and an adopted son back to back. It was a stepfather, meaning the son lost his father at a very young age. Mother got remarried, and this man raised him. And he gave him it was a simcha, so they needed to figure out all the aliyahs. So he gave him back to back. He gave him the aliyah. Right after the aliyah, the adopted father, the stepfather, came over to me and he said, "I'm very upset. I should not be getting a back to back aliyah with my son." So I kept my mouth shut. You know, he obviously knew that he wasn't his biological son, but he felt that this is my I raised him, so he's my son for all intents and purposes because I raised him. And he's not wrong. He may be wrong about the aliyah halacha, but he's not wrong about that feeling that when one raises a child. In fact, I think the Maral on Chumash, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Maral writes that when the Paro's astrologer saw that the Moshian Shel Yisrael is going to be a Ben Mitzris, is going to be the son of a Mitzri woman, that they weren't wrong. That it was actually in the stars, that it was a Ben Mitzris that was going to be the Moshian Shel Yisrael, because Bisya Bas Paro was the one that raised Moshe Rabbeinu. So if she raised Moshe Rabbeinu, she was also his mother. And based on that reality that Chazal tell, that Chazal note, so to actually write the father's name is not sheker. The only concern is that that if it doesn't indicate that he's a ger, so it might be a position of sraro or a yichus issue that's not going to be clear. One could argue that it's not really such a problem if his ksuba does not mention that he's a ger. We don't look at the ksuba before we give a person a position of sarara anyway, and the person could be honest before taking a position of sarara. So, and it's not so clear we have too many positions of sarara that he would be disqualified from. Rav Moshe, I think, has a tshuva. I think in the 8th volume of Igros Moshe, whether Rosh Hashiva is considered a position of sarara. I think Rav Moshe writes. What does Rav Moshe say? I think he discusses the fact that the Rashiva has the ability to throw Talmidim out of the yeshiva. Does that make it a position of Sarah? Rav Moshe's most famous tshuva about Sarah is about a mashkiach of Kashrus, that there was a mashkiach that had passed away, and his wife was an almana, and her only parnasa was to be serving as a mashkiach of Kashrus. So does the ability to remove a hashkacha from a place, does that constitute a position of srara? I can tell you, word on the street is that people certainly think so. People think it constitutes a position of mafia, let alone a position of srara. So people certainly think that way. The question is whether that's really true. La halacha, Rav Moshe Dafka wanted to be mekel because obviously it was the parnasa of an almana that was at stake in that case. So therefore, in this sefer Mishpat HaKesuba, he writes as follows. Gam ger shegadol bebeis aviv ha-Yehudi, o bebeis Yehudi acher, ein lichtav lo ploni ben ploni, don't write that his father's name, if he grew up in a Jew's house, v'adrab, mikra zeh yesh la'akbid yoser, shalom la'asos kein. Meaning, he has an interesting point. He says, the fact that he was raised by his biological father, and he was raised by this person who's his father, and no one knows anything, is that more of a reason to write the father's name, or more of a reason not to write the father's name? So in the Sefer Mishpat HaKesuba, he says that's more of a reason dafka not to write the father's name. Meaning, what's going to create a greater misimpression? If, everyone knew that there was something there in the family, there was something up and there's something to look into. A lot of times people hear some vague information about something, so when it comes time to shiduchim, they know that there's something to look into. So they'll look into it and they'll get the answers that they need. But if it's mamish, it just looks like a normal from family, and there's nothing to look into, and no one thinks that there's anything to look into, and this was a Jewish man who raised him, so maybe there's more of a concern. So that's what he writes, and he quotes this from the Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Lamed Vav, where he says that even if the ger was niskadel in the Jewish house by a Jewish father, you should not write just Ploni Ben Ploni, because he's a ger, and he's not Mesiachis to his father at all, and Adrabah, there's more of a chashash in such a case. So that's what he suggests in this sefer. When it comes to an aliyah l'Torah, it's not as pashut though. When it comes to an aliyah l'Torah, it could be that it's pretty clear l'Torah that you can call him by his father's name. Minchas Yitzchak quotes from Svarim that you should not call him by his father's name. But the Minchas Yitzchak writes that Lemaisa, he's like an Asufi or a Shtuki, where the Rama says that you call him to the Torah B'Shem Avi Imo, by his mother's father's name, when you have an Asufi or a Shtuki. Meaning, let's say you have a child who's born and they don't know who the father is. They have no clue who the father is, and the mother's a Jew. And so how do you call him to the Torah? So you call him by the mother's father, meaning you can't call him by the father's name. So the Minchas Yitzchak says over here also you don't call him to the Torah by the father's name, but I think most of the poskim do not assume that way. Right? Rav Shlomo Zalman in Halicha Shlomo in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah Osir Ches writes that if you have an adopted child and he's embarrassed, he doesn't want everyone to know that he's adopted, so you could write the adopted father's name and you can call him to the Torah by the adopted father's name. Now in the Sefer Mishpat HaKesuba, he notes that the Sefer Halicha Shlomo, while it's Piskei Halacha from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, was not written by the hand of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. just to take it with a grain of salt, just because it's Piskei Halacha that were collected from writings of Talmidim. That is true, but I would say that it's one of the better ones of this genre, meaning there are Svarim, even from Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach, that were not written by Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach and are maybe not as reliable as Halicha Shlomo. But Halicha Shlomo, I think, is very widely recognized as a very reliable sefer from Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach. So the Chora, there is plenty to rely on. And therefore calling him to the Torah. Now, the fact that they call him to the Torah by the father's name is helpful on a different level as well. It's helpful from the Sheker perspective. Meaning, we said before that it's not a Sheker anyway to call him by his father's name because his father raised him. It's also not a Sheker because one's name is what he's called. And if a person was called by a certain name his whole life, then that is his name. And if that's the way he's been called to the Torah, so that lechora becomes his name. I had a case recently. Someone asked me that a guy is engaged, and his kala's name, I don't remember the name, but let's say her name is Esther, and her whole life her name was only Esther. On her bat mitzvah invitation, it said Esther. On everything she has with her name engraved on it, it said Esther, and she never knew. She was never told she had a middle name. And then I think they found a video or something of her naming at Kriyas HaTorah on a Monday or Thursday, and her name was Esther Sprinza or something like that. I made up the Sprinza. I made up both names. I don't remember what the names were. But there was a second name. So the Shaila was, oh no, now she's getting married. You write it in the Ksuba. So if a person has been called by only one name, and as far as they know, that was their only name their entire life, then that becomes their name also. So the Chor over here also wouldn't be a Sheker because that's the person's name. And therefore, Lechora, again, Menachas Yitzchak takes a hard line on this, and in Sefer Mishpat HaKesubah he says, you have to at least indicate that he's a Ger, even if you're going to say Ben his father's name, you have to at least indicate that he's a Ger. But Lechora, there's a lot of room to be makel over here. Someone told me that they just spoke to Rav Shechter about a very similar Shaila, not the exact same Shaila, but a very similar Shaila of a Ger who didn't want to be noted as a Ger in the Ksubah, and it was a man, not a woman, it was a male Ger, and Rav Shechter said, no problem. He did not think that there was an issue whatsoever, and just calling him, not calling him Ben Avraham Avinu, calling him by the name of the father that had raised him. So I think it's a davar pasha that if it's going to cause embarrassment and it's going to cause fights, that you try to avoid that at all costs. I'll just add one word of caution. Generally speaking, ksubas don't become pasul so easily. For gittin, we're much more careful than we are for ksubas, but there are rabbis that are willing to pasul ksubas pretty easily. You take the ksuba to a makubal and he says, oh, this is why you have all these problems in life, because you didn't indicate properly, whatever, this, that, or the other thing, because you misspelled your middle name or because of whatever. I remember when a number of years ago, I was doing Masada Kiddushin at a wedding, and I thought the spelling of a name was a particular way. I had asked, I think I actually asked my brother to ask Rav Nata Zichrono Livracha, who was the world's expert on Gittin, how to spell the name. And another expert on spellings and names, Rav Kelmer Zichrono Livracha, was at the wedding, and he wasn't sure that it was correct. And uncharacteristically, Rav Kelmer, sort of made a big deal out of it. Not loudly, he didn't do anything loudly, but uncharacteristically, like he said, well, let's really check into this, let's think about this, is this really right, is this what we want to do, maybe we should take care of it later, for now, just do this. And he called me up afterwards, because Rav Kelmer was one of the biggest tzaddikim to walk the face of the earth, and he called me up afterwards, and he said, I just want to tell you, I didn't want to make a stink. I didn't want to, and really, I don't think it's a big deal. And absolutely, ksubas kosher either way. And I wasn't questioning you as if he has to apologize to me. He said, I'm just nervous. He said, because I've been involved in cases where they bring the ksuba 10 years later when they're having shalom bayis problems. They bring the ksuba to the makubal, and the makubal says, yeah, it's your Masada Kiddushin's fault because he spelled this wrong on the ksuba. So instead of getting the therapy that that they need to deal with their problems. They just blame everything on the ksuba. So I think on that level we do try to get ksubas right, but still at the same time I wouldn't want to risk World War III over something like this, where really lechora it's 100% kosher. Okay, with that I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos and a good evening. Take care, everybody.